I'm Marcy Lundy with the Beauty's Aging Gracefully podcast. Today, I'm very happy to be joined by Dr. Palak Patel. He is a board-certified internist with a background in Oregon. Did I say that right? Did I say internist or internist?
Internist.
Okay. I cannot read my own writing. With a background in rural Oregon, going to Oregon Health and Sciences University, and dedicated to improving rural health, especially for elderly populations. Dr. Pollack, please welcome yourself to the Beauty's Aging Gracefully podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I work in rural Oregon, and I do specialize in internal medicine and geriatrics, and I completely understand not able to read my own handwriting as well.
I've often been told I have a doctor's writing, so doctor, if we could discuss aging backwards in regards to unveiling the science of hormones, body sculpting, and therapy for those in their prime.
We'll just start with, kind of the basic physiology. As we all get older, certain things change. And we start noticing that really in folks later 20s, early 30s, we start seeing changes in hormone levels. And it's very pronounced in women as progesterone levels already start coming down in many women's 30s. We don't really identify a woman losing those hormones until menopause. But that's when they have completely depleted most of the progesterone and estrogen, whereas progesterone starts going down at an earlier age. So you can think about aging somewhere in the late 20s, early 30s for most women, for many women. And for men in their 30s and 40s is when we're starting to see that decline in testosterone. Both men and women have testosterone and estradiol in their bodies. It's just that they're at different proportions. So as both men and women get a little older and older with time, you're going to see these differences occur. But when we're looking at hormones in general or just aging in general, this is true of not just the typical estrogen, progesterone, testosterones. We see this in other hormones as well, like your thyroid hormone, right? Or if they're seeing it in proteins that are moving the hormones around, transporting them through the body. So just like we see diabetes for folks who aren't unable to either make insulin or use their insulin in their body, the same thing can happen with hormones, and it can happen at different ages. So you can have a young person who has a hormone deficiency or the inability to use that hormone, just like you have a young person who can develop a resistance to insulin. For a long time, we have not thought about hormone replacement or bioidentical hormone replacement in the same lens as we look at chronic diseases like type 2 diabetes or even type 1 diabetes. So that's part of the picture as we age. Now, as we move forward in time, what does that mean? That means that we're losing muscle mass. It's harder to build that muscle, and that causes a decrease in mobility, and functional movement. And what do we mean by functional movement? We mean like the ability to go up and down stairs, to cross a crosswalk in the appropriate amount of time. This is especially true in places like rural Oregon, places that are rural, because we are so dependent on our cars for transportation. Many people feel like, oh, you're in Oregon, you're going to be in great shape, you're going to be outside climbing, hiking, and all those things. That's actually not true. Most of us, our day-to-day life includes getting to where we need to get to, which is via a car, because we live so far away from everything. When we get to that location, we may walk around that store, get what we need, get back into our car, and we return back to our homes. So our walk scores, which you may be very familiar with living in a more metropolitan area, our walk scores are not very high. So those are some of the things that we look at as a geriatrician or as an internist working with older patients. We want to pay attention to the whole picture. So some of their hormones for sure, but also then how do we improve some of their functional abilities?
Women that are in perimenopause, I think it's so interesting as you start to do research and you realize, well, I can't find that much. And so, as a doctor who deals with older adults, what would you suggest in regards to when you feel like maybe your hormones are shifting, they're not completely out of whack, but you're aware of something. Is there anything that you would suggest for people that are, or women that are noticing that?
Several things. So there are other contributing factors to how someone feels during this time period. So it doesn't just have to be hormones, it could be other forms of nutrition. So I'll just give you kind of what we would recommend if you were one of my patients. So if you had come into the office as a young perimenopausal woman, unclear of the etiology of the symptoms, we try to get a pretty comprehensive history of what those symptoms are, whether it's lethargy, depression, depressed mood. Some people have a different decrease in attention span. We also see decreased libido, too much sleep, too little sleep. So we ask all those usual questions. Then we get a targeted lab panel. So we're looking for nutritional deficiencies. We're looking for some hormone imbalances and just general health. Like, what's the cholesterol, fasting blood sugars? What else is going on? Because that can help tie in the picture. So, for example, someone who has a cold intolerance, constipation, and we see on their labs have high triglycerides, that might be someone who has a low thyroid, which can occur at the same time as perimenopausal symptoms. Because during that time, we're losing some women may be losing their progesterone and estrogen, but they might be also losing their proteins that are moving those hormones around at that same exact time. And your thyroid function, your T4, T3 are hormone related, right? They're hormones that regulate metabolism in your body. So when we're seeing someone with those type of symptoms, we are trying to get all those labs, trying to answer all those questions. Now, what can someone do on their own when they're having these type of symptoms? Well, we really dial in nutrition, right? So we want to make sure folks are getting their B12, folic acid, where we live, vitamin D. We just don't get enough sunshine up here in the Pacific Northwest. So we try to make sure we get the vitamin D. We also make sure that they're eating healthy. So there's plenty of things that can interfere with increased lethargy. So we have intolerances, not allergies, but intolerances to a lot of different foods. Primarily, the top two things that cause inflammation in most people, or many people who suffer from inflammation, is dairy and gluten. So we ask about their diet history, right? We do know that meat and animal fat does cause vasoconstriction, so decreasing energy levels. And then we have an epidemic of poor sleep habits in this country, right? We have a lot of people who are just not getting restorative sleep, whether it's too much soda, too many energy drinks, watching too much TV before they go to sleep at night. All those things contribute to feeling a little down in this time of this period of our lives. And we haven't even talked about stress, right? So when we're talking about even the decrease in hormones, we are seeing an increase in cortisol, which is something that is released by our body when we're under stress. It could be lack of sleep, it could be sleep apnea, it could be our jobs, it could be our busy, hectic lifestyles. So a lot of things can contribute to that stress level, bringing up that cortisol, and that makes a huge impact on our overall well-being. So as a young person going through perimenopause or andropause in men, really trying to focus on things that you can control, which is your sleep, how you control your stress, and your nutrition. These three things you have control over. And that's what we ask you as your medical provider to own those things. Now, we are still going to do all the other things that we have to do, but there's no pill for sleep. You want to get your own restored sleep. There's no pill for getting you to eat better. There's no pill for improving your nutrition selections. And there's really no pill to help you become more functional in your ability, like your exercise, balance, stretching, those type of things. Those things you have to own as an individual. And then we help you on the way, right? We if you're depleted in something, we give you, we give you direction on how to increase that. If we have to replace some hormones, we replace those hormones, which many people are going to need with time.
Sure. Thank you for answering that. Botox. We live in an era where I think luckily women and men are feeling more comfortable making this decision. Is there a perfect dose in regards for those that are over a certain age so that you don't end up going too far?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So, as part of what I do, so I'm an internist geriatrician. So, half of my practice is dedicated to the adult population, everybody above age 17. And the other part of my practice is actually a medi spa. So, we actually work in the cosmetic industry, doing Botox, fillers, tumescence, lipo, and those type of things. So, yes, we do see a lot of patients who ask about Botox or neuromodulators, neurotoxin, botulinum toxin type A. So the three main ones is Botox, the name brand made by Allergan. Then you have Dysport, it's made by Galderma. And then you have the third one, Xeomin, that's carried by Merz. And now there's some newer ones coming onto the market after those three. So they all work about the same. So the goal of the product is to cause the muscles to stop firing. All right. So when you the muscles stop firing, they relax those muscles where you may have a lot of expression, the smile lines, the frowns, the raised eyebrows, the 11s people call them, bunny nose, all those type of things that you've probably heard about. When you're giving a medication, this is a medication, it's specific to that muscle group that you're trying to relax, and it's individual to that person's metabolism. So we know, based on the millions of doses that have been giving out, some of the averages that an individual might require for relaxing a particular muscle group. We know that younger, more athletic people have a higher metabolism, and therefore they will burn through their product faster. We know that men who have a higher metabolism than some women, not all women, but some women, they're going to burn through their product faster than the same weight woman, okay, just based on someone's metabolism. So some people will say, well, when they're younger, they require less units and their lines disappeared. That's because they have faster collagen remodeling, right? So if you have spent years with these lines and you're older, it's going to take longer for those lines to disappear, right? You have to promote your own collagen remodeling. Like we mentioned before, in folks in their 20s and 30s, they already have higher cellular turnover because of their hormones. They're still in this still repair phase of aging. They haven't quite reached the andropause, menopause phases. So they're able to remodel that collagen much quicker, right? You give a 20-year-old who has deep lines, give them some Botox. Within the first month or two, the lines are gone. Now, the real question you have to ask yourself, how quickly did the muscle contractions return? Because that is what the products do. That's what your neuromodulators do. They relax the muscles. So even if someone cannot move this anymore and they still have the lines, that's something to do with collagen remodeling, right? It's not necessarily the neuromodulator, the Botox is for Xeomin. It's not one of those concerns. The muscles are relaxed. They can't move them anymore. Now we got to figure out how to create that collagen remodeling and create that cellular turnover so these lines fill in. So the exact age, there's unfortunately no strict answer to your question because it varies based on the individual and the severity of the movements, how expressive they are. And their metabolism. So the averages tend to be for a woman maybe in the glabella area, the frown lines, about 20 units per crow's feet, depending on the severity, 10 to 20 units. And then the frontalis, those vertical lines, between 5 and 20 units. That same equivalent male may require double the dose, So it varies based on location, but I do feel that for many people who have the deeper lines at a younger age, They can really benefit from the neuromodulators. Gives them more relaxed appearance, less tired appearance. Unfortunately, for people who are maybe working with children or teaching or something like, if you want to look very stern, you can't. But that way, some people don't know what you're thinking either. So there are some benefits to that. So.
Oh my gosh, that's really interesting. So, when we've seen people and we're thinking they got too much or whatever, that's just not even the case. There's so many factors.
There's a lot of factors. Now you can, there's not mistakes. Obviously, when you're doing these type of things, there's all these small muscles in the forehead, glabella region. So unfortunately, you can make certain areas what we call heavier if you relax the muscles too much. I just want to explain a little bit about this. So your frontalis, your forehead, pulls muscles up, right? This is the direction your forehead's moving. The glabella areas and the muscles around the eye, they're contracting, they're pulling things down, right? So when someone's has heavy eyebrows, heavy lids, the problem is we have created an imbalance between the muscles pulling down and the muscles pulling up. So you may have injected the forehead too much and not put enough in the muscles that are contracting. That's why many injectors will say, hey, if I'm going to inject one area, I need to inject the opposite area, so that there's a balance. So it's not pulling too high up or pulling too high low. You may have heard of Spock eyes, right? Where the eyebrows go too high. So you relax the muscles around the eye too much. You've allowed the frontalis now free rein to pull up the eyebrows. And that's what causes that elevated eyebrow. And so what we do to do that, we just put a little bit out here in the frontalis area, and we relax that area so the eyebrows stay even. So neither the high nor low, and they just stay where they're supposed to be, right? So that's the balance that we're trying to create when we're using any of the neuromodulators, Botox, Dysport, Xeomin.
Very good. Thank you. Tell me about mastering wellness and anti-aging secrets for middle-aged and beyond.
That's a difficult question. I would say mastering, I would say it's a work in progress. It's a practice. We're always trying to improve. Okay. So the basic fundamentals to anti-aging in this age group is correct nutrition. So handling the things that we already talked about. So making sure your nutrition's on point. Now we'll tell you, as you get older, you will require more protein than you did when you were younger to maintain muscle mass. Okay. Muscle mass as we get older is much harder to maintain. So we do request that many of our patients and clients increase their protein intake. To just give you some ballparks, the average person would require 60 grams of protein to maintain muscle mass. 60 grams of protein per day. If you're trying to build a muscle, you're going to go 60 to 90. If you're trying to lose weight, by how you eat, you want to get to 90 to 120. I'm not telling you to eat a bunch of meat, right? We know that can be unhealthy for many people. Not everybody, but for many people, that is something that their bodies cannot handle for various reasons, other medical conditions. The balance that we try to get folks to achieve is about 80% plant to 20% animal protein intake, right? So the goal is to have two plant-based meals with a high protein, and then one animal product meal that has a mix of animal product protein and plant-based product protein. And you see this, throughout the world. The term is called the blue zones. There's now a new Netflix documentary documenting the blue zones around the world. As a geriatrician, I was learning about the blue zones since 2008 when I first entered medical school and interest in geriatrics, right? We know in these locations, people tend to eat better. They don't have a primary meat diet. And the way that they eat is using complex carbs and vegetables as a primary source of the nutrition with a celebrity meat item. Okay. So that's number one. So when you're in your middle age group, you want to eat well. What are things you want to do? You want to build that muscle mass. So that's with lifting weights or having an active lifestyle. So we know that folks who spend the equivalent time doing cardiovascular exercise, which is when your heart rate is elevated to maybe 80% of your maximum heart rate and you're a little bit out of breath. We know
Right.
those folks, compared to people who lift weights, do not do as well with their muscle mass, right? So cardiovascular exercise, although is very important for your heart and lungs and mentation and dropping your blood pressure, doesn't do the same effect as building muscles and long-term effects of balance and lower extremity strength, which is high in functional abilities as you get older, as building muscles. So we actually request folks to spend 2 days a week working out their muscles, and it just takes 30 to 45 minutes. Okay. So that contributes to balance, which is important. So we talked about muscles and balance. And the other things that we recommend is socialization, right? So we know that in the United States, although we have these bustling cities, many people, as they get older, maybe getting into retirement age, they don't have the same network as they did as they approach retirement as they did while they were in their prime of working. Is a lot of socialization, even in a city. Even when you're surrounded by millions of people, there's a lot of socialization. So we recommend to our folks in that age group 4 hours of socialization a day. This is why we married men live longer after the age of 65 than single men. All right. Now, unfortunately, married women after the age of 65 do not live as long as single women after the age of 65. Don't know why, but I will tell you
Interesting.
for a fact that my patients who are women tend to be way more social, whether they are in a relationship or whether they're not in a relationship, to than my male patients. My male patients really, who are struggling post-retirement, I actually encourage them to go back and get another job. Because for many men, they have been, their identity has now been attached to their jobs. And once they retire 65, some people are going to, early 70s now. But when they hit that retirement, unless they have full-time socialization, hobbies, and things like that, it can be very challenging for them. Versus most of my women patients, they retire and all of a sudden they're in like three different clubs. They're in the gardening club, they're in the hiking club, they're teaching a art class, some are volunteering, some of them are still in their 90s knocking on doors and doing censuses. I mean the women in rural communities, just they just do a lot of work, and they volunteer a lot. And I would say that's one thing: if you don't want to grow old, find things you love and you just don't stop doing them.
I love it.
So that is the main parts of aging well that you can do on your own. So correct nutrition, fitness, primarily in muscle exercises, so you avoid falls, the number one cause of morbidity and mortality as you get older, and socialization, 4 hours of socializing. Okay.
There you
In our practice, we talk about the pillars of aging well. So what are the pillars? So cognition, socialization, balance, and strength, right? So these are the things that help you live a long time, but functionally, right? Not trying to avoid what we all try to avoid, which is living to an older age, but not able to do the things we want to do.
Wow, thank you so much. Stress lines and wrinkles. I go back and forth with that because I feel like that shows a wonderful life and a life that's been very full. But of course, it's up to the decision of the individual. How do you prevent them, and what is the treatment for mature skin?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So prevention, we recommend an aggressive home regimen. So any of our folks that are coming in for consultation for the skin, any age group, there is some skincare that is recommended. Okay. The reason why, one, if you're doing it at home regularly, you're going to have way better results. That means when we do treatments to help with mature skin, so radiofrequency treatments or laser resurfacing or series of peels, all those things we can do for help reverse aging skin, the results are much better when someone is on aggressive home regimen. And these aggressive home regimens, we recommend using for about 12 weeks, of consistent use before saying something doesn't work. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
And our recommendation is not just using a single one product. There, it's hard to treat complex skin or matured skin with just a single product. So we usually use a multifaceted approach, all starting with cleansing your face twice a day. So everything starts with washing your face, which
Right.
shockingly many of us don't do. So, and I'm guilty of that too. I don't wash my face every day or twice a
Right.
day, but you should at least try to wash your face twice a day if you can. That's the beginning. That's the first step. Then after that, we talk a little bit about what are the things that are appropriate for your skin based on whether it's oily, acne prone. Is it what Fitzpatrick scale you're on? What is your goal? Do you want to have peels that have retinol in them? Are we going to put you on a retinol to precondition your skin prior to your retinol-based peels? Or we're going to use something that's doesn't have retinol but has the same similar cellular turnover that gives you the same repair after something like, let's say, radiofrequency microneedling, right?
Right.
So the first step when we're talking about prevention is always a good home regimen. Second, we talk about nutrition, obviously making sure someone has the appropriate nutrition, getting their fatty omega-3s and things like that,
Right.
making sure they get all their essential amino acids. We want to make sure they get all their essential amino acids, which can come in the form of plants. I mean, essential amino acids means those are the protein subgroups that we cannot make ourselves. So we make sure they have the proper nutrition, and then we come up with a treatment plan. So for most mature skin, we have a spectrum of treatments that we offer. The beginning starts with facials and peels. So doing a series of something is more effective than doing one alone. That's what I encourage most people to do. You want to do a series of something before you give up on it. One peel is not going to do much. Three peels spread out between 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to see a difference, right? So that's what we encourage. We also encourage a multimodality approach. So what do I mean by that? Different treatments affect different layers of the skin and can affect different layers of the collagen. So if you are just focused on the superficial layers of the skin, you may not get that deeper collagen stimulation that's required for fine lines and wrinkles. So we may recommend a series of peels along with something a little bit deeper like microneedling, just regular microneedling, or what has been dubbed as the vampire facial, where they do microneedling with the PRP, right? So there's different forms of microneedling, and we can microneedle different products: hyaluronic acid, your own stem cells, synthetic stem cells, exosomes. All those things can be put into the skin and to help promote the collagen at the superficial layers. If we're talking about deeper wrinkles, so things that are deeper, maybe we're going to go down and use radiofrequency, where we can change the depth of the needle, so less than 1 millimeter all the way down to 4 millimeters, and in the thicker areas, submental or different parts, maybe 5 millimeters. You can use it over the body from skin laxity now. And maybe we're going to do that for some deeper wrinkles. Now, again, a single treatment is probably not going to be sufficient. It took you a while to get those lines, to earn those lines. It's going to take you a while to reverse those lines. And so we usually recommend multimodality for most of our patients' mature skin. Some will get you a more instantaneous result when you're looking at superficial skin. That's 2 to 4 weeks of remodeling. When you're looking at collagen remodeling, you're looking at 90 day plus. So it's very important when you're looking at before and afters, even based on the marketing from the companies, that you're aware that some of these results can take 9 months to a year, sometimes 2 years of consistent treatment to get that type of result. And that's okay. I mean, some of these are minimally invasive, so you do them and then you go off and do your regular life. But once you're committed, then you really should have a good home regimen.
That's good because some people want something instant, but like you said, it took a moment to get those, and it will take a moment to take care of them. Very good. Doctor, I know you're based out of rural Oregon. For our listeners that are in different parts of the country, if they were just looking to get more information from you in regards to these processes, how would they reach out to you?
So they can go to our website, checkomedical.com, And it has a list of a lot of our services that we offer, both on the medical and aesthetic sides of our practice. And it gives a brief description of the different type of treatments that we offer. But we also offer virtual consults for those who are interested. And we can do a virtual visit and go over different wellness programs that we do offer, and even just quite general questions on skincare and health. If you do live in California or Oregon, we can actually be a provider for you for your medical conditions as well.
Very good.